Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to another service here at Unity Center of Light, from our home to your home. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. And as always, we ask you to join us in a Zoom session right after this for fellowship and music. If you have not joined us before, you should be able to find a link in your e-newsletter or your weekly update. And we look forward to seeing you there. Right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Okay, thanks. Good morning, Unity family, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. Now let's affirm our foundation statement together. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. Amen. And now we'll have the daily word reading for today, January 23rd. Keywords are pray for others, and the affirmation is, I am praying for you. Just hearing the words, I am praying for you, helps me relax into the calm strength of a trusted friend's faith. Reassured, I feel my own faith growing stronger. My friend may be next to me or calling from far away. The power of prayer is undiminished by distance. Grateful for the gift of others' prayers for me, I welcome every opportunity to pray for anyone who asks. Having heard the prayer need, I let go of concern. In faith, I behold the Christ presence within for whom I pray. Knowing the truth of another's wholeness, I release any thought of illness. I affirm divine wisdom guiding important decisions and divine strength relieving any weakness. I feel the warmth of God's love bringing peace and restoring hope to those I hold in prayer. And the scripture reading is taken from 1 Thessalonians 1:2, and it reads, we always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers. Amen. And now we have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So, wow, today we are looking at part two of Grasping Truth at Its Roots. And, you know, there's so much going on today. And so we are we're kind of going through Unity basics to help us to kind of shore up our understanding of how to apply the ideas that we study into, you know, what's happening on an everyday basis. So the basis for this series of lessons is to explore the foundation of Unity thought. Specifically in this lesson, Unity Foundation statement, which we also use as a personal statement. And we all know it. You could say it with me. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. And I emphasize that because God the good is going to be a large part of this lesson. So with all of the chaos and confusion in the world right now, I don't know if you've been watching the news, but some of the things I've been seeing are just outrageous. And, you know, so we have to figure out how do we prepare ourselves to deal with that. So with all this going on, you know, a metaphysical, practical understanding and application of God as the good in our lives is really needed. So a foundation precept in Unity is that the good that God is the only eternal power and presence in the universe. The good that God is the only eternal, real and eternal power and presence in the universe. And to reiterate the Unity Foundation statement, it acknowledges that we believe God and good are one and the same, right? Good is a quality that God is. However, it's important to understand that the word good we are using to describe the quality of God is probably beyond our human thinking and what we can really actually comprehend, okay? Just as the totality of the meaning of God is beyond what our human mind can fully comprehend. So what we're going to be looking at is how do we, what do we do to move ourselves in the direction of being able to get in a deeper understanding of our relationship, you know, with God, with this divine power that's within us. So the knowledge and understanding that we gain from studying truth becomes a means by which, it really becomes a means by which we gain greater understanding of what good is. And that's sort of what I was saying last week, all right? So we're trying to get a better understanding of what is this good that we're talking about and how to do good, which is expressing the healing love of God in all of our relationships and affairs. So I stumbled on that because it's like, it's time to figure out how do you say that in a way that makes sense to the consciousness in which we're in. Because we understand our dimension of good, but we're looking at a good that transcends what we believe to be our good. And I'm going to deal with that a little bit later. So it's through practice, conscious dedication, that we slowly come to understand how to grasp the deeper meaning of good at its root. And it's through practice, conscious dedication, that we slowly come to understand how to do what is good more consistently in all the areas of our lives. So if I said many times before, I think we can relate to Paul when he, you know, cried out, you know, you've seen this so many times, but for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do, no, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. All right, and that's a verse I use many times because it relates to where I am. You know, you got this thing in your mind about how you're going to be in this expression of the divine in everything you do, and it doesn't always work out that way. Okay, so doing good, which is expressing the love of God in all of our, you know, affairs and relationships, is about undoing our old thoughts and beliefs about what we believe doing good is. Okay, so learning to do good by expressing the love of God in all situations and relationships is the primary reason for studying truth. So it is not to learn truth just for the sake of knowledge. And again, every time I say something like that, I'm embedding this idea of Gnosticism, being a Gnostic. Remember, Gnostics don't search for knowledge. They search for experience, which leads to knowledge. And that's kind of the background, because that's what I'm reading. That's, you know, being embedded in all these talks. So again, it means that learning to do good by expressing the love of God in all situations and relationships is a primary reason for studying truth. It is not to learn truth just for the sake of knowledge. Learning about truth is a means to rebirth and awakening. So it's not the end in itself. So when we're saying we're trying to grasp truth at its root, it's not just for truth itself, but it's for it to help us to awaken and remember who we really are. All right? So what we're trying to do is learn how to become an instrument of the good, and that's our goal. We want to be an instrument of the good, not thinking that we are the originators of good, but we're the instrument through which good flows. And it's important to realize that doing good is never for the glory of the one doing it. All right? That's, I think, one of our biggest challenges. It's always for the glory and realization of the higher consciousness we are striving for. So we're doing good not for the glory for ourselves, because we do enough of that anyway. We're doing good and in the process awakening ourselves to what being an instrument of the good is really all about. And that is what this journey is all about. It is to transcend ego glorification so that we can reach a level in consciousness that recognizes and glorifies what is truly true within us, okay? Which, of course, is the Christ. And the reason for studying truth is to gain a better understanding of the truth that is more inclusive, right? Right now, you know, our version of truth is limited in its scope, if you get what I'm saying, which consequently limits our perception of what it means to do good. So we have a perception of good. And we read a Course in Miracles quote last week that talked about how we function from our perception. So our perception of good is not what we're talking about. We're talking about how to transcend that and so become a vehicle through which the good that God is flows. So we're striving for a greater, more inclusive level of consciousness, which leads to a more inclusive level of truth, which leads to a greater level of doing good, if that all makes sense. So this is the true basis of studying truth, the true reason for studying truth. Jesus reached a level of doing good that was so close to God that what he did defied the laws of physics, okay? And it exposed the illusion of lack and limitation, sickness, and even death, okay? He was able to do good by expressing love and compassion at a level that brought the light of God into the darkness of human suffering. Now, think about that. He was able to do good at a level that brought love and compassion at a level that brought the light of God into the darkness of human suffering, which we are seeing happening around the country and around the world right now. And it is believed that he was able to function at this level of consciousness because he did not glorify himself. So as we travel this spiritual path, it's important to understand that we cannot operate at the level of good that Jesus did if we are doing it for self-glorification. We cannot operate at the same level that Jesus did if we're doing it for self-glorification. And as you heard me quote so many times before, Mother Teresa expressed her way of doing good. She says, "I'm a tiny pencil in the hand of God writing a love letter to the world." All right? That was her complete surrendering herself to the process. And in the words of Martin Luther King, he says, "I have decided to stick with love, for I know that love is ultimately the only answer to all of humanity's problems." So doing good is a way of the mystics of history. Okay, the revealing word defines the good as the absolute, the incomparable, that which is godlike in its character. Okay, God is omnipresent, all good, which means that the good that God is present, available, and accessible everywhere and at every moment that you and I need God to be. Okay? And the revealing word also defines God as a principle, which is the absolute good expressed in all creation. Okay? So what this means to us is that in truth, all good that is expressed is the good that God is. All good that is expressed is the good that God is. Simply, all good comes from God. So when we see, you know, things on the news and whatnot where people are doing good for each other, yes, it appears that they are the ones doing the good, but really they are the instruments through which the good that God is flowing. Simply, all good comes from God, and it is our responsibility to choose to be an inlet and an outlet through which God as good can express, okay? Now, as Gary Zukav explained in his book, Seed of the Soul, which is one of my, you know, favorite books of all times, he says, it is the soul that lends love and compassion to the personality. Let me say that again. It is a soul that lends love and compassion to the personality. The personality is not the originator of love and compassion. Just as our mind is not the originator of divine ideas, or our body is not the source of life, this expressed aspect of our being, this body expression, is the receptacle, not the producer of light and life and love and energy. Our mind and our body, including our personality and ego, only have the capacity to allow the expression of the good that God is. And that's the key to this whole talk. You know, we're not the source of the love of God. We, if we choose to be, are the instruments of the love of God. Okay? And I know that's a lot on one slide, but again, I like to do that for people who want to go back and read it without having to try to transcribe it. So what we do have the capacity to do is decide, okay? Decide whether or not we're going to be instruments of God's good, right? And it's the study of truth and understanding of truth that helps us to become conscious of the reality of our purpose for being here. When we truly become conscious of the laws of God, the laws of the universe, we become aware of the truth that it is our mission to express the good that God is as demonstrated by Jesus. So if somebody says to you, well, what's unity all about? Unity is about teaching me how to express the good that God is as demonstrated by Jesus. Okay, that's sort of our focal point. Okay, even though we look at other masters, you know, Buddha and other masters, for us, that's the key point for us. And in this enlightened state of consciousness, our ego slowly begins to relinquish its belief that it is the origin of the light and love that it's expressing. That's what we're trying to get to. So when our ego lets go of the decision to do good or not do good, we become an open vessel through which God, as good, flows freely and continuously. So that's the interesting thing. You might be saying to yourself, well, I want to do a good deed here, okay? But before you decide what that good should be, it's sort of like just being in the silence for a moment and listening for that divine guidance as to how to express this good that you want to express. And in those situations where you do not want to express any good, again, sit in the silence until you receive the divine guidance in terms of how to express good in this situation, even though your personality or ego may not want to express any good. Okay. So truth helps us realize that what we thought was our power to do good is really our decision to let the good that God is flow freely through us. Okay, let me say that again. So when we think, you know, that we I want to do good here, it's really a decision to let the good that God is flow freely through us, freely through me, freely through you. And again, Jesus in his enlightened state, you know, he expressed this again, John 5:19. I know we keep, you know, we go back over these Bible verses several times, but they fit, it helps us to really understand how they fit in our own lives. So in John 5:19, you know, there's a lesson for us. He proclaimed, and you know this, truly, truly, I say to you, okay, the Son can do nothing on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing, but whatever God does, that the Son will do likewise. And Charles Fillmore, in The Revealing Word, expressed it this way. He says, when we know God and worship God in spirit and truth, all right, so that's really important, worship God in spirit and truth. In other words, there's no anthropomorphic being. When we worship God in spirit and truth, we recognize God as the greatest goodness, omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent. Okay? So this is probably why Jesus refused to be called good. You know, it's recorded in Mark 10:18 that, you know, his response to being called good teacher was, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. Okay? And my guess is that he was revealing the truth that he was acting as an instrument or a channel and not as the source of good when he said that. Okay, he said, only God, the source, is good. Now, that's a key thing you want to keep in your mind. Okay, only God, the source, is good. If we were in person, I would ask you to repeat that with me. You can repeat it with me anyway. Only God, the source, is good. So in Jesus and in each of us, it is the Christ that is good. The personality, Jesus, relinquished itself to the higher power that dwells within each of us, which is God, the good, omnipotent. Okay. So when the person was calling Jesus good, whether the person knew it or not, he was really calling the Christ presence within Jesus good, and Jesus wanted him and us to be sure to understand that. That's why Jesus said, why do you call me good? Okay, it's the source, it's God within me that is demonstrating the good that you are perceiving is coming from me. But I'm merely the instrument through which that good flows. Okay, and many of you have read, you know, heard me tell a story several times of being asked by Amalia Frank, you know. Many of you who are fairly new don't know Amalia. She's a Unity minister, and she's the one who kind of gave me spiritual birth. Right? She spiritual birthed me and put me on this path that, you know, led to ministry. And she asked me, she said, do you believe that this whole spiritual quest is about doing, about being good. And I had to think about it for a moment. And the answer that came to me just as clear as could be was, the spiritual quest is not about being good. Rather, I believe it's about learning how to be an ever-evolving instrument or channel through which the good that God is can be expressed, okay? Or we could make it, I could say it more personally, that my spiritual quest is not about being good according to my preconceived notions and beliefs as to what that is. The spiritual quest for me is about doing the work daily to relinquish my ego perception of what good is so that God can use me freely as his instrument of good. Okay? And I know, and I had to put his, but sometimes it's hard to make that statement without, you know, using a pronoun. So, you know, and if you're thinking, well, that is not easy. Well, yeah. No, it's not easy. I say this every week. I agree with you, it is not easy. But it is necessary. Okay, so always remember that. It may not be easy, but it is necessary. Matter of fact, I want to share with you some of the words from Nobody Told Me the Road Would Be Easy. I don't know how many of you probably know that song, but listen to these words from that song. It said, there will be mountains that I will have to climb, and there will be battles I will have to fight. But victory or defeat, it is up to me to decide. And how can I expect to win if I never try? Okay. Many of us have sung those words, you know, who know that song. So we know that Paul expressed his daily process of surrender to God when he said in 1 Corinthians, you know, 15:31, everybody should know this verse by now. 1 Corinthians 15:31, he says, I die daily. That's the process. And again, that's why we keep repeating certain Bible verses, because it helps us to stay conscious of what the process is. And even Buck Rogers, longtime executive VP of IBM, it always blows me away when I have to say IBM to my students, and they go, what? What is IBM? But anyway, decades ago, he was a longtime executive vice president. And he said something similar. He said, in order to achieve the success you want, you must be willing to die a little bit every day. Okay? But both Paul and Buck were referring to dying to their old way of thinking, because you cannot achieve new levels of success or spirituality with the same old thought process. And we so frequently quote from Luke 5:37, you cannot put new wine into old wineskins. New wine must be put into new wineskins. So this is saying that when we decide to pursue the understanding of truth, we must be open to new ways of thinking, trying to put spiritual truth into a mind that will, it is not willing to be born anew, be born again, that is not willing to be changed by the truth that it is beginning to understand, could very well be psychologically and emotionally damaging to the mental health of that individual. You get what I'm saying? You're learning new concepts, but you're trying to remain as you are. That creates stress. We want to be open and receptive to God's living spirit of truth. We want to be open and receptive to the flow of this process. So the aim is to allow the knowledge that you gain from truth to raise the level of your understanding of what doing good really means. So again, the pursuit of knowledge is not the end in itself, what we said before. The purpose for pursuing all knowledge, especially the knowledge of truth, is to understand one thing, that being, how can I become an instrument for good? Which is the same as asking yourself, how can I become an instrument for God? So the whole idea of spiritual unfoldment is so different from our normal pursuits. You know, questions like, you know, how could I be an instrument for good or for God do not ring the same for us as how can I get a job or make ends meet or make a living or find someone who loves me for who I am. You know, those are the normal questions we ask ourselves. So asking the question of how can I become an instrument for God or a vehicle through which the good of God can work and flow in my life, it doesn't ring the same for us. But what's important to realize is that none of these questions negate the importance of any of the other questions. All of the questions that I just read about our personal struggles and about trying to be an instrument for spirit, all are important. They are all important because becoming an instrument for good or for God opens all sorts of doors that bring us a life that is fulfilling, rewarding, inspiring, and prosperous, okay? So yeah, we might still have those things we struggle with, but as we're working towards this idea of, you know, tapping into the truth, we will find that doors were open for us that'll answer all of those common questions we have about life, okay? Matter of fact, a basic definition for good, a Fillmore definition, is the good that God is, explains that God is always approachable, available, and usable to all who choose to draw near to this infinite presence. God is spirit, the principle of divine intelligence and eternal life, everywhere present at all times. Just know God is always accessible. All right? So the good that God is always accessible to us as the answer to all of our questions. So if you're asking questions about your life, you know, and how you're going to get this done, do this, whatever it is that's going on in your life, God, the good that God is always the answer. However, it's up to each one of us to do the necessary work to familiarize ourselves with how to assess and bring the good that God is into our lives, and to know how to allow it to flow freely through us to all the people and affairs in our lives. So it's not about just about bringing the good into our lives. Remember, we are a vehicle. We're the inlet and the outlet. So that as the inlet, we get all of our answers and needs and wants taken care of. But as the outlet, we also let that energy flow out to all the people and the affairs in our lives. And that work is to practice doing good for others. You do this by practice doing good for others as we presently understand good to be. So this is not knocking our perceptions of good, because as you're working with your own perceptions, you begin to tap into and touch the skirt of the truth, and you begin to see that your perceptions of good begin to raise to a higher level. So when frustration overcomes me, I continuously remind myself why I'm on this spiritual path, learning how to express and demonstrate a level of good that is greater than the good I presently believe is right, okay? And I agree again, it is not easy. But again, I'm going to quote from the song, Nobody Told Me the Road Would Be Easy, okay? And it says, I never said there wouldn't be trials, never said I wouldn't fall, never said that everything would go the way I wanted it to go. But when my back is against the wall and I feel all hope is gone, I will just lift my head up to the heavens and say, Lord, help me be strong. I'd love to see how many people know that song. And I want to end with this quote from Ernest Holmes' book, Can We Talk to God? Which he explains how to affirm our good every day. Okay? And this is what he says. He says, think about the greatest good that your mind is able to conceive, and then affirm that good as a part of your everyday experience. With this daily affirmation in mind, venture forth into life, a life of action, with the will to do, the determination to be, and the joy of becoming. And so it is. Amen. All right. So now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
And so let's gently close our eyes and place our feet flat on the floor with our spine straight. We're taking three deep breaths. Inhale and exhale. Breathe in and out. Inhale the presence of God. Exhale our misperceptions. One more time, deeply in now, taking in that ever-present breath of God and slowly letting it go. Continue with your rhythmic breathing and let us acknowledge the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit active in our lives and affairs, our nation, and our world. We decree our oneness with this power, for we each have been made in the image and the likeness of God. We are all God's children and heirs to God's heavenly kingdom. Relax your neck and shoulders and allow yourself to become wrapped in the everlasting arms of pure love. I invite you now to take the following words as your very own. In the stillness of my soul, God reassures me that I am loved. No words are spoken, for they are not needed. God communicates with me in a language that is understood by my soul. The comfort of God satisfies my soul. This feeling of being loved and cherished stays with me throughout my day. It stays with me throughout my week, and it stays with me throughout my lifetime. I am comforted, for I am loved. In faith, I ask God for strength. In love, God reassures me, that unlimited strength is always with me. Any concern is replaced with the assurance of divine comfort. God is my source of everlasting peace. Now, for the next few moments, let us clothe ourselves in the silence of the secret place of the Most High. Use this time to pray, receive answers to your prayers, and to be still. I am thankful, Holy Spirit, that you have heard my prayers this morning and you have answered them as you always do. I go forth this day knowing that your comfort satisfies the longing of my soul. And so we say thank you in the name and nature of our elder brother and wayshower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is. Amen. Please take a moment to come back to your surroundings and know that the Unity Center of Light is here for you, right here and right now. Blessings.
Thank you, Hen. This is great. So this is a time we open our hearts and minds to allow some of the treasure that flows into our personal life to flow into our spiritual home. We ask you to hold your offerings in your hand, in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit, as we say our offering blessing together. Together,
we bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. And now you have light notes. Yes.
I would like to say thank you to all those women of Unity who participated in our tea yesterday. It was a great success, and we're planning for our follow-up get-together really soon. Our first living room conversation for connecting people across the divides of age, gender, race, politics, nationality, and more was this past Wednesday. There is one more opportunity to share in this experience on Thursday, January the 27th, from 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. And a reminder to all who would like to deepen their prayer and meditation experience, Keeping the High Watch prayer call is each weekday afternoon from 4 p.m. to 4:15. Just 15 minutes of your time to reconnect with Spirit and each other. We hope you will join us. Our annual membership meeting will take place on Sunday, March 27th at 1 p.m. Please remember that all are invited to join the meeting, but only members of Unity Center of Light may vote. So we ask you, please mark your calendars. Thank you.
All right. So it is time to
bless the path that we each will walk this week, and we're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto together.
Right.
I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful.
All right. And let's go right into our prayer for protection.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well. And that's the truth.
So it's been a pleasure today being with you, bringing this service to you. We hope to see you in Zoom right after this.
Yes.
Otherwise, have a wonderful week and stay warm.
Yes. Bye-bye.